It's all quiet in the underground bunker. Doors closed, locks bolted. But the Great One isn't just resting on his laurels. He's making sure your weekend is even better by giving you his best. This is the best of Mark Levin.
I hope you're well. I'm going to use two examples of monumental lies, how the media promote them, and how it is a horrendous effect on our country, on the truth. Just two, and there's 1,002. I have a list here from Mr. Producer of clips from Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders. Let's see, some others here. We have Raphael Warnock, you know, the usual commie bastards. And they keep talking about the slaughter of the Gazan citizens. Many of them keep using that number, 30,000, it was 27,000. No longer do they even say where they got it from, nor do the media. Now, keep something in mind. The media invite these people on as guests. So they want Bernie Sanders on Face the Nation, even though he's inconsequential. They want Raphael Warnock on Meet the Press. These are the most radical elements in our society. They want them to say what they keep saying. I had the misfortune, serious misfortune. I was flying today, and I'm on JetBlue, which is a great airline. I'm not talking about them. The lady next to me was watching CNN, Mr. Producer. Now, of course, my screen wasn't working. You ever have that? My screen's not working, so I'm sitting there like a bump in a log because I would have put Fox or something on, or ESPN or whatever. And she's watching this. Now, she's reading a book while it's on the screen, so I'm watching it. And it's on, and I'm reading what's being said in the titles that they're putting in. I dare you to watch CNN for 2 hours in the morning. And MSNBC is even worse. It is non-stop propaganda and lies. And so the media invited Sanders, you know, these reprobates, Warnock, the others on, keep talking about the statistics, the death of the Gazans. And this is the hook now they want to use to ensure that Israel is defeated, that its people are constantly attacked. Because this is their base in the Democrat Party. They're all out of the closet now. Israel's attacked viciously, and now all the anti-Semites, including the Democrats, including Biden, they're all out of the closet. There's a great piece written where a gentleman says, yes, Biden only supports Israel when Israel kowtows to Biden. He never supports Israel when it has a strong prime minister. He only supports Israel when Israel does what he tells them to do, or his party tells them what to do. Obama tells them what to do, and so forth. And I thought, that's 100% right. But I want to go on here. We have Sanders, who is a horrendous, of course, he hates America too, you know, horrendous SOB. And he wants to cut off all aid to Israel unless Netanyahu is toppled. Now listen to this punk. Didn't he accuse us of colonialism and imperialism, Mr. Producer? Trying to conduct coups of leaders we don't like who are duly elected? Those are communist leaders, of course, that he likes. So now Bernie Sanders is an imperialist and a colonialist. And he's not alone. They all are on the left. And they keep telling the Israeli government what it must do. And yet, it's amazing. Even many significant leftists in Israel are saying there is no way the people of Israel are going to accept a two-state solution. Period. They're united in this. They have a few oddballs, and the oddballs get all the attention in the American media. But I want to go on and prove something to you. There was a statistician who took a look at what Hamas has been putting out. Statistician's name is Abraham Weiner, W-Y-N-E-R, and he's a top statistician. He's a professor of statistics and data science, for God's sakes, at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania and faculty co-director of the Wharton Sports Analytics and Business Initiative. Sounds like a pretty important dude, doesn't he, Mr. Producer? Like one of the smartest nerds around. So he writes this piece 5 days ago. It's available to the Democrats. It's available to their media. It's available. And they ignore it, as they must. Bernie Sanders ignores it. Warnock ignores it. Jake Tapper ignores it. Wolf Blitzer ignores it. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he ignores it. They all ignore it, as they must. Now, I can't read you the whole thing. We will post it. But he says the number of civilian casualties in Gaza has been at the center of international attention since the start of the war. The main source for the data has been the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry, which now claims more than 30,000 dead, the majority of which it says are children and women. That's exactly what Biden said during his State of Confusion speech. Here's the problem with this data, he writes. The numbers are not real. That much is obvious to anyone who understands how naturally occurring numbers work. The casualties are not overwhelmingly women and children, and the majority may be Hamas fighters. If Hamas's numbers are faked or fraudulent in some way, there may be evidence in the numbers themselves that can actually demonstrate it. While there's not much data available, there is a little, and it's enough. From October 26 until November 10, 2023, the Gaza Health Ministry released daily casualty figures that include both a total number and a specific number of women and children. The first place to look is the reported total number of deaths. And he has a graph. He says the graph of total deaths by date is increasing with almost metronomical linearity, as the graph shows. In other words, it seems like it goes up each day, more and more, with precision. The same number of men, the same number of children, the same number of women. He says, wait a minute, that's a red flag, number one. He says, surely this regularity is almost not real. One would expect quite a bit of variation day to day. In fact, the daily reported casualty count over this period averages 270 plus or minus about 15%. That's strikingly little variation. There should be days with twice the average or more, and others with half or less. Perhaps what is happening is the Gaza Ministry is releasing fake daily numbers that vary too little because they do not have a clear understanding of the behavior of naturally occurring numbers. Yeah, I would guess that's part of the problem. It says, unfortunately, verified control data is not available to formally test this conclusion, but the details of the daily counts render the numbers suspicious. Also, we should see variation in the number of child casualties that tracks the variation in the number of women. This is because the daily variation in death counts is caused by the variation in the number of strikes on residential buildings and tunnels, which should result in considerable variability in the totals, but less variation in the percentage of deaths across groups. In other words, obviously, if you're hitting more buildings, more people will die. If you're focused on tunnels, less women and children will die, more terrorists will die. He says, but that's not shown in the numbers. Period. It's always mostly women, mostly children, as if the Israelis are going through and just bombing apartment buildings, one after another, after another, after another, and not dealing with tunnels. Now, we know that's a lie. Let's see here. He says, similarly, I pointed that out. This lack of correlation is the second circumstantial piece of evidence suggesting the numbers are not real. But there's more. The daily number of women casualties should be highly correlated with the number of non-women and non-children, that is, men, reported. Again, this is expected because of the nature of battle, the ebbs and flows. What he's saying there is, look, you're saying all these women are dying, all these children are dying, but there aren't days when more men are dying than women, Mr. Producer. How is that possible? And why is it the same 70% every time are women and children, every single day? Virtually the exact same percentage of women and children are dying as opposed to men. He says, that's incomprehensible. He says, consider further anomalies in the data. First, the death count reported on October 29 contradicts the numbers reported the day before on the 28th. Insofar as they imply that 26 men came back to life. This can happen because of misattribution or just bad reporting. There are a few other days where the numbers of men are reported to be near zero. If these were just reporting errors, then on those days where the death count for men appears to be in error, the woman's count should be typical, at least. What he's saying is they're playing with the numbers. So when they're putting near zero for men, they're jacking up the number for women. You see what I'm saying, Mr. Producer? Because they need to have a certain number of quote-unquote people dying every day and an increasing quote-unquote people number dying every day. So when they have men nearly at zero, they have to jack up the number of women and children. He's saying that's obvious from these numbers. Most likely, the Hamas ministry settled on a daily total arbitrarily. We know this because the daily totals increased too consistently to be real. Then they assigned about 70% of the total to women and children, splitting that amount randomly from day to day. Then they infilled the number of men as set by the predetermined total. Okay, now we have to say this number of men died. This explains all the data we've observed. There are other obvious red flags. The Gaza Health Ministry has consistently claimed that 70% of the casualties are women or children. This total is far higher than the numbers reported in earlier conflicts with Israel. Another red flag raised by Salo Eisenberg and written about extensively is that if 70% of the casualties are women and children and 25% of the population is adult male, then either Israel is not successfully eliminating Hamas fighters or adult male casualty counts are extremely low. This by itself strongly suggests the numbers are, at a minimum, grossly inaccurate and quite probably faked. Finally, on February 15, Hamas admitted to losing 6,000 of its fighters, which represents more than 20% of the total number of casualties reported. So taken together, Hamas is reporting not only that 70% of the casualties are women and children, but also that 20% are fighters. So he's saying 20% are terrorists, 70% are women and children, 10% are other men. He said, that's impossible. That's impossible. Not only do official Palestinian death counts fail to differentiate soldiers from children in their own official numbers, but Hamas also blames all deaths on Israel, even if caused by Hamas's own misfired rockets, accidental explosions, deliberate killings, or internal battles. So he says, the truth can't yet be known and probably never will be. The total civilian casualty count is likely to be extremely overstated. Israel estimates that at least 12,000 fighters have been killed. If that number proves to be even remotely accurate, then the ratio of non-combatant casualties combatants is remarkably low. At most 1.4 to 1 and perhaps as low to 1 to 1. And by historical standards of urban warfare, where combatants are embedded above and below into civilian population centers, this is a remarkable and successful effort to prevent unnecessary loss of life while fighting an implacable enemy that protects itself with its own civilians. So what's the takeaway here? He's a top statistician in the United States of America at the Wharton School. He's a senior position at the Wharton School. This is what he does every day. He looks at the numbers. He says, this is a lie for these 5, 6, 7, 8 reasons. This was published 5 days ago. It's received no attention on any cable channel. It's received no attention on any network. It's received no attention in the New York Times or the Washington Post. Over at the White House, they continue to lie. So we're getting lies over and over and over again because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the scenario that they're trying to project on Netanyahu and his government and the Israeli people. They're trying, literally, the White House, the Democrat Party, and the media, literally, to rally our nation against the state of Israel with flat-out lies about casualties. You can check it yourself, how the Gaza Ministry of Health fakes casualty numbers. It's by tablet. We'll have it on our Mark Levin Show website, immediately following the program like we do all articles. Just imagine this, and all weekend long, all the media outlets lied, all the senators lied, all the congressmen lied, Biden lied. Harris lied. They all lied because they want Israel to lose.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion-dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Making your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
I don't understand this news story. RNC, absolute bloodbath, quote unquote. I mean, the DNC changed the order of their primaries to accommodate Joe Biden. South Carolina goes first. They pushed out that guy that was trying to get started up, the congressman. They blew him out. They blew out Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Nasty Joe, won't even get him Secret Service protection. I mean, think about that. So Joe controls his party. The chairman of the party was a Joe Biden man. When Reagan won the presidency, same thing happened. Well, we don't have the presidency now, we Republicans, conservatives. Donald Trump was the president, is going to be the nominee. Therefore, the RNC reports to him. This is normal. And so he puts his daughter-in-law there. Okay, John Kennedy put his brother as the Attorney General of the United States. So it's hardly the same thing, John Kennedy putting his brother as Attorney General of the United States to do all his dirty work for him, including going after Martin Luther King and tapping his phones. So Lara Trump becomes really one of the powerhouses over there, darn. And you'd think something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's quite normal. It's quite routine. You can't run a party if you have individuals in there who are not going to support the eventual nominee. It doesn't work that way. And so there's nothing controversial about it whatsoever. At all. Period. And they can't stop writing stories. It's like trying to destroy this Senator Britt. I feel so bad for her. Young upcoming senator. She still is, in my view. This Wolf Blitz did the whole thing. I was sitting there, couldn't do a damn thing about it, on the monitor with the knucklehead sitting next to me. They had a whole segment on it. That the individual who was sex trafficked was not sex trafficked during the Biden administration. That wasn't her point, you idiot! Tens of thousands of women have been sex trafficked during the Biden administration. Why don't you get off your fat ass at CNN, go down to the border and find them? Oh, well. Mark. Ready for this? On TikTok, Republican billionaire with $33 billion TikTok stake bullies lawmakers to stop bill forcing Chinese Biden dance sale. And I hope they haven't reached into the higher quarters of the Republican Party. Billionaire mega donors bullying members of Congress, writes the New York Post, by threatening to stop funding them if they back a bill to order TikTok's Chinese parent to sell the app, the Post has learned. See, they're not eliminating TikTok. They're saying get it out of the communist Chinese control. There's nothing wrong with that. Hedge fund manager Jeff Yass, Y-A-S-S. Oh, that seems appropriate. Jeff Yass is personally calling Republican members of the House, because he has got a massive stake in this, to try to halt legislation which would force ByteDance to divest itself of the app, putting it in U.S. hands instead of communist Chinese. Something wrong with that? His fund has a $33 billion stake in the Chinese company. Well, why did you do that, pal? You know, I don't care, Republicans, Democrats, it's the same damn thing, whether it's Qatar, whether it's the communist Chinese, whatever it is. Let me tell you something. This is un-American. That's right, billionaire pal. As far as I'm concerned, it's un-American what you've done. And now I'm making these phone calls. And everybody associated with it. That's correct. This is an enemy country. The bill known as the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. Gee whiz, couldn't we tighten that up a little bit, Mr. Producer? Was being marked up Thursday, but it might be marked up Wednesday. It would force ByteDance to either sell TikTok to an American company in 6 months or be banned entirely. I endorse this bill strongly. Doesn't matter to me who says otherwise. I could care less. They might be this one or the Trump or this, that, and the other. So what? I said I have disagreements with people, and it's not clear to me that that's his position anyway. But that's my position. It was jointly drawn up by Representative Mike Gallagher, kind of a knucklehead, the chair of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, and the Democrat ranking member, Representative Raja Yabadaba. Yass is a Republican mega donor who has funneled $130 million since 2020 into PACs and a right of center think tank, the Club for Growth. That's the one, the Club for Growth. That's the one. I said, no, I'm not going to talk to your people. Which then funnels money to libertarian and GOP lawmakers, such as Ted Cruz and Jim Banks. Now, that is a very sleazy statement. So the billionaire gives money to Club for Growth, and Club for Growth supports conservatives. But there's a lot of people who support Club for Growth who don't have any ties to TikTok. So why would you even throw that in there? But let's go on. A spokesman for Yass denied that he was making calls to Republican members of Congress and said, quote, Jeff learned about this proposed bill yesterday, Tuesday, and has not spoken with anyone about it. Any suggestion otherwise is categorically false. Well, that's good to know. So why are people saying it's not categorically false? But multiple sources confirm the calls to the Post. Quote, he's telling them he's pulling funding if they support a TikTok ban, a source with knowledge of the conversation told the Post. One source described it as bullying. Mr. Yass, you have every right to lobby members of Congress, by the way. If that's what you're doing, just say so. If you're not, that's fine. If he's able to persuade an enclave of libertarian Republicans to fight tooth and nail against this, you'll scare off votes, one Hill source said. Libertarian Republicans, they support communist China devouring our country? Very odd. Well, a number of bills looking to ban TikTok have been floated over the past few years. Capitol Hill sources said they believe this is the first piece of legislation forcing a divestiture of TikTok from ByteDance they could actually pass. You know, we conservatives talk about communist China. What are we going to do about communist China? We talk about all the bases they're putting all over the world. We talk about their killer satellites to knock out our GPS system and our electrical grid. Their Navy is going to be bigger than ours. They have more advanced nuclear weapons. They have a bigger army. They're preparing for war. They want to take Taiwan. They threaten us. The Chinese COVID-19 virus is from China, and they don't tell us in time so we could deal with it and so forth. They still won't share the information with us. By TikTok, by God. Unbelievable. What we're willing to tolerate. Joe Biden with fentanyl coming across the border. TikTok brainwashing our children. We should be celebrating the people who want to put an end to this. Celebrating it. This isn't any libertarian bullcrap. We should be celebrating it. It's not an American company. They communist. As far as I'm concerned, a communist front group. That's my opinion. If not, they act pretty funny. While ByteDance owns other social media apps and digital games, TikTok is the crown jewel, and a forced sale would kneecap profits and eliminate leverage to charge a heavy price for the popular video app, since buyers would know they have to off-road it. It's gotten the White House's approval, and that's why a lot of, Biden's for it, I'm against it. Don't be a Biden. Don't be a Biden. If something's wrong, it's wrong. Oh, and I hear it said by the advocates for the communist TikTok. I don't care if they have an American billionaire involved or not. It's a communist-controlled entity. And they're using it to their advantage against us. And they've succeeded in an unimaginable way. We were asleep at the wheel again. It's not, no, we libertarians believe it. It's not a liberty. Oh, free speech, nothing to do with it. Don't constitutionalize the acts of a communist country that's undermining us, like you're constitutionalizing the acts of Iran and Hamas and Qatar. What's up with that? We have enemies, and they're doing things to us. And I don't care who's making how much money. And I don't care who they're paying off to be their mouthpieces. And I don't care what think tank they're giving money to. Screw it. Oh, and the argument is, well, Facebook will get bigger. They're not going to get bigger than communist China. That's for sure. What a joke.
Mark Levin. You're listening to the best of Mark Levin.
The official position of Biden, the Biden lawyers, the Democrats in Congress is Joe Biden is not an imbecile. And the special counsel should not have called him an imbecile. And yet, that's the only defense, which isn't even really a defense, that the special counsel said Biden could invoke if he were to indict Joe Biden and bring the case to a Democrat jury in Washington, D.C., where he said there's no reasonable expectation that they would find him guilty. A brilliant lawyer friend of mine and my family, Nat Lewin, who's litigated innumerable cases, including in front of the United States Supreme Court, sent me a note. And Nat Lewin said, really? Well, if Joe Biden had been indicted and the case were heard in a Republican town, in a red state, would it still be the position of the special counsel that Joe Biden wouldn't be convicted? Of course he'd be convicted. His point being, you bring the charges as they come. And the idea that he wouldn't be convicted, perhaps not in Washington, D.C., but as a matter of law, as a matter of law based on the facts, is not and should not be the case. You might remember when this report first came out, it was quite substantial. I went on Blaze and I went on the Fox. I waved it around and I said, this report provides material, specific evidence of more than a score of felonies committed by Joe Biden, senator, Joe Biden, private citizen, Joe Biden, vice president of the United States, under the 1917 Espionage Act. And the argument that he cooperated once he was caught 40 years later is not acceptable. As I said then, and others have since repeated because they're smart to repeat it, that's not a defense. When you murder somebody, when you steal something, when you embezzle, but I cooperated after I was caught. And so this issue of obstruction in Donald Trump, let me deal with this as a footnote. Under normal circumstances, with an attorney general who wasn't a hack of the president, with a real experienced domestic prosecutor, not a hatchet man, like special counsel, for which there is no special, Jack Smith, there would never have been a criminal process. You don't criminalize these cases, certainly not against a former president who has special executive authority under the Constitution. He is the executive branch. How can he steal stuff from himself? And when a president takes documents with him, because he is the executive branch, he is the second branch of government, He cannot be said to be stealing classified information or violating the Espionage Act, because he can't. So they raise these unique constitutional, perverse constitutional questions because they're out to get his scalp. I am the only one that I know of on Fox, on Blaze, on radio, who talks about these things, who served as chief of staff to a former attorney general of the United States of America. One of the greatest of all time, one of the strongest when it came to law enforcement. There is no way in hell he would have approved a criminal warrant against the next president when they're debating the issue of whether or not he can keep the documents or not and negotiating. There's no way. There's no way he would approve the use of FBI SWAT teams to go to the former president's home to seize the document. It never would have happened. If Attorney General Meese thought somebody was intransigent or that there was something we could do, first thing he would do is pick up the phone. And he'd call the individual and he'd say, hey, look, we got to have this material. We don't want to create a whole, you know, issue here. This is the situation. And if that didn't work, maybe, not likely, but maybe he'd pursue it on the civil side. On the civil side, there is no way in hell he would have gone for a search warrant, send a SWAT team, seize the documents, create an obstruction scenario, and then indict a former president who's already announced that he's running for the presidency again. It never would have happened. Never. Not under Ed Meese. Might have happened under Bill Barr, but it never would have happened under Ed Meese. Ever. The special counsel report concludes that Biden repeatedly violated the Espionage Act. He committed felony after felony over a period of decades in different offices and out of office. That he lied about it on key occasions, including when he was talking to his ghostwriter. None of this should be a surprise to you. I discussed it thoroughly and extensively with you right here behind this microphone, as well as on Blaze and on Fox. That's the truth. Which is why people are talking about a double standard. Here you have Joe Biden, according to this report, who left the material in 7 different places over the course of his career. 2 different places where he lived, different places with his office, and kept moving it around. Donald Trump took documents with him, or people packed the documents for him, and he took them with him on a helicopter to Mar-a-Lago. That's it. That's it. Hillary Clinton's not prosecuted. She wasn't charged, even though the case is overwhelming. Multiple felonies, if you want to apply them under the Espionage Act. She wasn't even vice president. She was secretary of state, for God's sakes. She's not protected. She doesn't run the executive branch. She's an appointee. She has no independent declassification powers at all. Neither did Biden at the time we're talking about. None. He literally stole documents out of the Senate skiff. There is no defense for that. And he kept it for decades. No defense whatsoever. None. There's no defense when the man says to his ghostwriter, they don't know that I have these. What were these? Notebooks of his card notes of classified information. Even his staff tried to get that from him before he left. But he kept them in secret. And then he used them with the ghostwriter to make money on a book. That's what happened. Trump had his documents as a former president of Mar-a-Lago. Biden had him in open boxes. He had him in his garage. He had it where people could access it. Mar-a-Lago is like a fort. You only get in if they let you in. It's guarded by the Secret Service. Now, this was a fascinating hearing. So we're going to take a break, and I want you to hear some of this, because most of you in this audience, you actually don't have time to watch TV all day long. and to watch these hearings all day long, I will help you. This is information I want to confer on you because, according to the Democrat Party, they know Joe Biden is a crook. They know that he took money from communist China. They know that he didn't pay all his taxes. He set up two S corporations while he's yelling about people paying their fair share. They know all about, we know all about Joe Biden, a reprobate, a career hack politician who's never spent a single day in the private sector, not one, but wants to run it with an iron fist. Who is this man, this self-serving, self-promoting, self-aggrandizing narcissist? Well, I just defined him. And so now you see Mr. Herr has to be destroyed. Not Mr. Smith, who changes the law, who demands that the courts comply with his demands. He cuts short due process rights, attorney-client privilege, the right to appeal. He and his favorite judges in Washington, D.C., they're destroying the system while claiming to protect it against the man that they're targeting. Herr didn't do any of that. Herr was praised. He was quiet. Oh, he's a good Republican because they didn't fear Herr because he's not a Jack Smith. He's not a Weissman. And so he puts out this report. And they are desperate to smother it and him. And yet, like with Comey, the report goes on and on. You go, okay, wow, this is unbelievable. But we're not going to charge him. Amazing, isn't it? Joe Biden escapes accountability. Number one, because he's president. But if Herr were Jack Smith, he would have indicted him anyway and said, that's not in the law. That's been a position of the Department of Justice. But we need the courts to sort this out. Because Jack Smith is burning down all comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, all traditions, all precedent when it comes to the law. Because that's what the man does. He's a nut. He's an absolute nut. Here, Herr says, no, we got to worry about that. Plus, you know, the jury in Washington, you know, he won't say it, but I'll say it. They won't ever convict a Joe Biden. No. But they can't wait to convict a Donald Trump. And that's what Nat Lewin's point was. They bring the case against Trump in Washington, D.C., because they figure it's a slam dunk. The judges, the jury, the press. But they don't bring one against Biden because they know it's a slam dunk in the opposite direction. Because there isn't equal justice in Washington, D.C. There isn't equal justice with the Injustice Department. There's certainly no equal justice with that crooked creep Joe Biden.
Mark Levin.
Great one makes your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
Mike Lee at a hearing today, who I thought did a fantastic job. And the reason I'm doing this is because we have budget issues coming up. We have national security issues coming up. We have judicial issues coming up. We have investigative issues coming up. And most of you, well, you're working all that time for this stuff, and yet this is your Congress. And I don't do this all the time. As a matter of fact, ask Mr. Producer. I am loath to play clips. I'm loath to have 1,000 guests because I know why you tune in to listen to me. But I want you to listen to this. Cut eight, go.
Do you believe that people registering to vote should provide documentary proof of their citizenship in order to register to vote? Mr. Hewitt?
I think your first question kind of answers the second. Based upon the applicable rules, federal or state elections or what have you, we know we have to follow those rules. The question is, what's the impact of those rules?
Ms. Riordan?
Yes.
Ms. Camarillo?
Voter registration cards and affidavits, when people sign them, people are signing under federal, penalties of certain, depending on the state, either criminal or otherwise.
Yeah.
That they're,
can I get a yes or no out of you? Should
I'm
they
sorry?
Or should they not have to require documentation establishing their citizenship?
It's already redundant in many states, and it's already being asked.
Mr. Von Spakovsky?
Yes, all individuals should be required to provide proof of citizenship.
Ms. Lakin?
Documentary proof of citizenship requirements are often discriminatory. In fact, we sued the state of Kansas and won litigation on this issue.
No, you shouldn't have to show ID to vote. You shouldn't have to show any ID to come across the border. You shouldn't have to show ID to get generous government benefits. But if you want to go to the White House, you better have multiple forms of ID. If you want to go to Congress, you better have multiple forms of ID. If you want to get into a courthouse, you better have multiple forms of ID. And if you ever want to get into any government facility or any facility that is regulated by the government, you better have multiple forms of IC. But if you go to vote, which is a crucial aspect of our republic, why would you have an ID? Go get a beer. Wait a minute. I need an ID for a beer. So I go into the 7-Eleven. They ID everybody. Let me see your license or whatever, your birth certificate. They show it. Then you go to vote. You don't have to show anything. This is what the Democrats have done to our voting system. Why? Not because it's discriminatory. She's a bigot. What she's saying is, look, black people, brown people, Asian people, red people, anybody but white people don't know how to have an ID. And yet they do. Democrats in states, Democrats in cities, they hand out licenses to do 1,000 different things. How the hell are you supposed to work through the Internal Revenue Code if you can't even have an ID and you don't know how to get one or use one? It's discriminatory. How? How is a voter ID discriminatory? Somebody tell me. Now, most states will give them out for free, a license, some kind of alternative form of identity. For free. They'll mail them. Landmark Legal has been involved in litigation like this. It's a lie. It's a ruse. So why are they lying? Because they want illegal aliens to vote. Because they want people to vote twice. And it's easier to get away with it if you go to dense areas and you can't keep up with the voting and who's voting and manage who's voting. Voting in and of itself is not a great moral accomplishment. Because if people vote who aren't supposed to vote, or they vote more than once, or they vote for other people, or they vote for dead people, that doesn't make that vote a wonderful moral achievement. It makes it a crime. It's just like the word law and justice, two different things. There's law and there's justice, but all laws aren't just. All votes aren't legal. It's not that everybody should vote. It's that everybody who has a legal right to vote and vote once and vote for yourself. We can't have voter ID. It's discriminatory. And then when you really press, as we did in litigation, give us five examples. They don't have five examples. They don't have any examples. None. None. So they don't want voter ID. That's another reason the border is wide open. And if you dare to raise it, and you got proof. How do you have proof? How can you even prove a negative when there are millions of people voting? How can you prove that somebody's voting illegally if the ability to create the proof is eliminated? How stupid is that? Can you prove it? Can you prove it? No, you just said they don't have to have voter ID. How am I supposed to prove it? See, another phony lawsuit. You must be an election denier. So they enshrine, they institutionalize the criminality. They put it in the law. And then they tell you, as I discussed before, the law is just. No, the law is not just. It's being used by the unjust to commit criminal acts and to prevent any ability to get to the bottom of what's going on. That's the definition of injustice. And a corrupt system. They have corrupted the voting system. Denier. Cut eight, go.
Do you believe that only citizens of the United States should be able to vote in federal elections?
We don't have a position about non-citizens voting in federal elections. We believe that's what the current laws are. And so we're certainly fighting for everyone who's eligible under the current laws to be able to vote.
Ms. Riordan?
These are these crazy left-wing groups. you know, citizens for that and legal groups for that. That's why they're there. Go ahead.
That non-citizens should be able to vote in federal elections.
Ms. Camarillo?
That's a decision of the state law, but I want to emphasize
that. Now we have a dimwit. It's not a decision by the state law whether non-citizens can vote in federal elections. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
As to who should vote in federal elections?
States decide who gets to vote in various elections. And in federal elections, I believe that we should be encouraging people to naturalize and then vote.
Okay, but you're saying that the federal government should have no say in who votes in a federal election?
I don't have a position on that.
Yes, you do have a position on it. It's up your... It is lawless. Your position is lawless. So you see what I'm saying, folks. These are Democrat-affiliated, billionaire Democrat donor-funded organizations that are promoting lawlessness, that are promoting voting by non-citizens. We're destroying our country. You know, we're destroying our country. Anybody can walk across the border and then they get to vote? And we have organizations defending this or lying about it? And then when election day comes, Bill Barr and the others, oh, that's the cleanest election in America. Yeah, we didn't find any fraud with it. Because you're not fighting the efforts to institutionalize fraud. That's the job of the Attorney General. That's the job of U.S. attorneys across the country, to raise red flags and say, wait a minute, we're never going to be able to determine if the right people are voting or not voting. And by right, I mean legal. And then the votes come in and things look weird and it's, well, you can't prove it. You can't prove it. Should we have fingerprinting? Should that be allowed in order to find criminals, Mr. Producer? How about DNA? Should that be allowed in order to find criminals? I hear DNA, using DNA is very discriminatory. I hear fingerprinting is especially discriminatory. It's racist. Now, we all know what a bunch of crap this is. I want you to look in your wallet or your purse. What do you find? Several forms of ID. Oh, you want to go to Costco? You have to have the card. Really? Yes. You want to take out a mortgage? You have to have 1,000 different things to prove that you are who you are, your records, your background, and so forth and so on. You cannot get into a government building, local, state, or federal, without a recognizable identification card. We're being monitored up the wazoo. Now we're told our cars are talking to our insurance companies. And that's just the beginning. We've got Social Security numbers. We have driver's license numbers. We have Medicare numbers, Medicaid numbers, Social Security numbers, welfare numbers, student loan numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers everywhere. Numbers everywhere. We're on systems. We're being monitored. But if you go to vote, all of a sudden, now, we don't want to know anything. Why? It's racist. Well, how come it's not racist when the TSA wants to see you? Well, you know, we don't know. And we're supposed to buy into all this. And there's groups with tens of millions of dollars who push this. They hire legal slip and fall ambulance chasing puke lawyers to go into these states to make these arguments in front of Democrat judges in blue states. Well, you have a point there. You have a point there, Mark Elias. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way. You're right. We'll strike down what the legislature did because, after all, we're the court. We have the final say on everything. You're an elected hack. No, I'm a judge. See the robe I'm wearing? Yes. See the whole environment here? I have an actual courtroom that has, stained wood on the walls. Yes. I have a beautiful desk. I wear a black robe. From time to time, we bring in what we call a jury. Yes. We have two tables for prosecutions and defense. Yes. I have a gavel. Love my gavel. Yes. So I'm a real live judge. And so we all agree voter ID is discriminatory. It's actually racist. No, we don't. Oh, yes, we do. Therefore, I find it illegal. You're going to blow off the entire state legislature? Yes, why not? And you can't prove any fraud, can you? No. Because you've turned fraud into a legal action. That's why.
Mark Levin.
We're giving you nothing but the best of Mark Levin.
I believe in his heart, he has his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Minister Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. And as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. Prime Minister Netanyahu has also weakened Israel's political and moral fabric through his attempts to co-opt the judiciary.
So let's stop here. Listen to this. Now, let me tell you who this speech is intended for. This speech is intended for really two audiences. No, not in America. Because you have to admit, Biden, Blinken, Sanders, now Schumer, they've tied up the River to the Sea crowd, the Islamists, the exterminate the Jews crowd. They're all Democrats. They're all for the Democrats. So they've got that. And they have now drawn an indelible line between the Republican Party, which supports Israel, and the Democrat Party, which supports Hamas and Iran. And is funding Iran, as I'll get to in a moment, even now. It's putting more sanctions on Israel today while it's funding Iran today with another $10 billion. There's no mistaking what's taking place. The Democrat Party is now formally in the camp of Hamas. The media are now formally in the camp of Hamas. They're more than happy to use their statistics. In fact, they're happy to use their video and their photographs. Even though they know it's a lie, they know now, because we had one of the great statisticians in America explain that the numbers are a lie. But they don't care. Now, I want to say this. What would we say if Netanyahu was talking about the American people need to overthrow their government? The American people need to demand a new election. The American people need to throw this one out and that one out of the Knesset, which would be our Congress. And these proposals by the Democrats on how to destroy our Supreme Court and our judicial system, and then he goes on and on and on. Would we tolerate that from Netanyahu? Would we tolerate that from any leader of anywhere around the world? In this speech, Chuck Schumer is an English version of Vladimir Putin, except worse. Israel's a democracy. Almost 80% of the people of Israel, in recent surveys, support the direction that the government's taking with Hamas on the phony two-state solution issue and so forth and so on. And so they try and create this image that it's Netanyahu. These are the people of Israel. And Chuck Schumer is saying, I know better. And of course, Chuck Schumer is nothing more than an apparatchik for Biden and the Democrat Party. Power, 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 power. And you heard what he said. He's threatening Israel. He's threatening the people of Israel. You do what I say, or we are going to have to examine what we want Israel to look like. That's what he said in so many words. We will determine what a sovereign country looks like. We will determine the government of the sovereign country. We will determine the borders of the sovereign country. Schumer is a fascist. This is totalitarianism. Biden is a fascist. This is totalitarianism. Bernie Sanders is a fascist. And there are overlaps between Marxism and fascism, but we don't need to discuss that tonight. Bernie Sanders is a fascist trying to force Israel to bow to their demands. And I'm telling you tonight, from my contacts in Israel, that they are now rationing bombs, even though Hezbollah is poised to attack. At the same time, that Biden, through his policies and directly, has flooded over $100 billion into the Iranian regime, and as a result, their terrorist surrogates and Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, and the PLO. He says it's time. It's time for the Israelis to have a course correction. And I'm thinking, course correction? That's what we're trying to do in our country when you're trying to imprison our candidate. We want a course correction too. But can you imagine a foreign leader, a Netanyahu or whomever, telling Joe Biden who should be in his cabinet? You got to get rid of this Buttigieg. You got to get rid of Blinken. Or we're going to help work on reorganizing your governor, what the United States should look like. The Democrats, oh, they always attack imperialist America, colonialist America. Oh, those early white supremacist founders of America. Who are the imperialists and the colonialists today? Sanders, Biden, Schumer, Blinken. That's who. It's really stunning. Cut four, Mr. Producer, go.
Nobody expects Prime Minister Netanyahu to do the things that must be done to break the cycle of violence, to preserve
Israel's... It's Israel's fault. It's Netanyahu's fault. America, are you listening to it? It's Israel's fault. It's Netanyahu. This is the senior senator from New York, where most of America's Jews live, who is embracing Hamas in Iran. Netanyahu, the government of Israel, they've created the cycle of violence. Go ahead.
Be on the world stage and to work towards a two-state solution.
They don't want a two-state solution. The last survey, over 75% of Israelis said no. No, no, no. And so Biden's going around saying, well, we'll impose it on them. This failed prime minister, this reprobate, who's now the foreign minister in the UK, says Israel doesn't get to decide whether there's a Palestinian state or not. America, I want you to Google something. When the British drew the lines after the Ottoman Empire, when they drew the lines in the Middle East, they created this two states. That is, modern day states. Because, of course, the Jews were there long before Britain even existed. But let me go on. The other state was Jordan. It was Jordan. Jordan. So the Jordanians and the self-named Palestinians, they didn't want two states. They wanted the whole damn thing. That's what's been going on. So Chuck Schumer insists that a two-state solution will bring peace. They ignore what's going on in Gaza. They ignore what Hamas says in its mission statements. Iran didn't give a damn about a two-state solution. They want to roll over Israel, and they want to roll over everybody who opposes them. This isn't about two-state solution, two geographic areas. They want to obliterate all opposition, starting with the Jews, who are right there in the Middle East. They tell us this. But Chuck Schumer doesn't give a crap. So the Democrat Party, if you are Jewish and you vote Democrat, you are certifiably insane. By the way, if you're any American and you vote Democrat, you're certifiably insane as far as I'm concerned. Either that or you're a host on Comedy Central, like Leibovitz, who changed his name. Leibovitz, you know who Leibovitz is, right, Mr. Producer? John Stewart. Cut five, go.
Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways. Radical right-wing Israelis.
Now, see, he's not a faithful Jew. So anybody who's an Orthodox Jew is a radical right-wing Israeli. I told you this. These are self-hating Jews who hate Jews of faith. Who hate Jews of faith. They've run the New York Times for God knows how long. And now they run the Democrat side of the United States Senate. Go ahead.
Government and society, President Abbas, Prime Minister Netanyahu. These are the four obstacles to peace.
So Netanyahu is the obstacle to peace. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Schumer had to coordinate this speech with Biden, with Blinken, with the White House. He's a coward. He doesn't do things one-off. Now, others are trying to, I want nothing to do with that. He's willing to take the heat because he figures he'll get elected no matter what unless AOC challenges him. But I want to give cred to Mitch McConnell. Credit where credit is due. Credit where credit is due. He immediately went to the floor of the Senate. He'd never heard anything like this before in his career, ever. And here's what he said. Cut seven, go.
It is grotesque and hypocritical for Americans who hyperventilate about foreign interference in our own democracy to call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel. This is unprecedented. We should not treat fellow democracies this way at all. Things that upset left-wing activists are not of prime minister's policies. There is Israel's policies. Make no mistake, the Democratic Party doesn't have an anti-Bibi problem. It has an anti-Israel problem. Israel is not a colony of America whose leaders serve at the pleasure of the party in power in Washington. Only Israel's citizens should have a say in who runs their government. This is the very definition of democracy and sovereignty. Either we respect their decisions or we disrespect their democracy.
Mm-hmm. And think about how they disrespect our republic, ladies and gentlemen. The border. Think about it. Massive spending, inflation. How they're trying to imprison Donald. They want to in the paradise that is the Schumer world, the Biden world, and the world of hell. Donald Trump would be imprisoned today, and Joe Biden would be running against nobody. Netanyahu would be removed as Prime Minister of Israel, replaced with an Ehud Barak type, or Lapid, who will serve at the bended knee of the Biden administration and divide up his country and expose the people of Israel to permanent extermination. That's what the Biden administration is seeking right now. One party rule in America and one party rule outside of America, where they absolutely control everything that happens in the state of Israel. You don't hear Chuck Schumer glowing on the floor of the Senate condemning Biden or his administration for pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into Iran. You don't hear a damn thing about it. You don't hear Chuck Schumer going to the floor of the Senate condemning today widespread anti-Semitism. Oh, he'll talk about it in passing and so forth. But you don't hear him say, what's the Biden administration doing about it? You don't hear Chuck Schumer go to the floor of the Senate and explain what this second state will look like and how it can be ensured it won't be a terrorist state, because it will be a terrorist state. You don't hear Chuck Schumer go to the Senate floor and say, well, we need a course correction in America. Joe Biden ought to change up his cabinet. In fact, Joe Biden ought to resign. He's mentally unstable. He's cost tens of thousands of people their lives over on the southern border. We have slavery like we haven't seen since the end of the Civil War. It's time for a course correction, Biden. You don't hear him say that, the jackass.